This is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk with our SalesPort correspondent Marie Rogers calling in from Los Angeles. Marie, thank you so much for reporting on the collegiate sailing scene. I understand the Los Angeles Yacht Club is hosting the Harbor Cup from March 16th to 8th. Can you tell us a little bit about the Harbor Cup?
Oh, it's a great regatta. We have schools coming from all over the country. And for most of the schools, it's the first time they actually have a chance to race in big boats. As you know, most college sailing is in dinghies, but these are Catalina 37s. They're the same boats that are used for Congressional Cup in Long Beach. And they're identical Catalina 37s, and the kids have one practice day, which is on Friday when they arrive, and then the regatta is Saturday and Sunday. Our club hosts all these wonderful young people that come in, and they seem to have a great time when they come.
Well, now, who is competing this year?
We have, for 2020, College of Charleston. We have United States Merchant Marine Academy. We have Eckerd College, United States Coast Guard Academy, United States Naval Academy, Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, University of Hawaii, University of Santa Barbara, Cal State Maritime Academy, and Pennsylvania State University.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a great race. I enjoyed being there on the water last year when we had the Harbor Cup. Tell me about the skills that are needed for these young athletes as they're competing on boats that they've never sailed on before.
It's not that different from their smaller boats, their dinghies that they race on. It's just, you know, it's a bigger platform, so they're doing a lot more running around. All your basic sailing skills, it's just that, you know, these the Catalina 37s are a great platform for our one design fleet. But, you know, they're not state-of-the-art, but neither are the most of the boats that the kids sail at their schools.
There's a trophy involved in this, and that trophy has some history. Can you tell us a little bit about the trophy?
Oh, the trophy is beautiful. It's on our website, layc.org. It is Cal Maritime's cup, because they are the ones that really the originators of the regatta, and Los Angeles Yacht Club, and our staff commodore, Jim Morgan, who was a port official for many years and a graduate of Cal State Maritime, had this trophy dedicated for this event. It's a big silver cup, and it's awesome.
And so when that trophy is won by one of the teams that are competing, where does the trophy reside?
Trophy resides in at Los Angeles Yacht Club Clubhouse, but we've put a plaque of the winners, that year's winner, on the trophy.
Thank you so much, Marie, for coming and reporting to us on the collegiate sailing scene for SalesPort Talk. This is Karen Lyle signing out.
All right, thank you for that, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, downtown San Francisco, around the world on American Forces Radio Network, Tuesday at 9:40, joined by our friend Karen Lyle from SalesPort.com. Karen, how are you?
I am doing just great, thank you.
You look resplendent in is that a sailing windbreaker? Can we call it that?
Yeah, actually, that's my Berkeley Yacht Club sailing windbreaker, yeah.
Very cool.
With
now,
my Los Angeles Yacht Club little tie. And
yeah, very, very festive. We've brought in so many different people from the sailing world since we started doing this show. We're going to bring in someone right now who is an expert in college rugby, and that is the commissioner at USA Rugby for the D1 status. It is Kevin Battle. Kevin, thanks for being on the show. How you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Brad. Thank you for having me.
All right. Now, Karen, tell us the tie-in here, because I'm fascinated. Rugby plus sailing equals Kevin Battle. What is it?
You would never have guessed this, but basically Kevin and I met at the Sail GP race, which was the very first month that we started SalesPort Talk here at Sports Byline. And I had a little tag on me that said Sports Byline, because we hadn't even made a SalesPort Talk tag at that point. And Kevin Battle had his little tag that said Rugby District 1A Commissioner. And we looked at each other. Kevin, you remember this?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And so you pointed to me and said, Sports Byline. And I said, you know, we just took sailing as a sport into 24/7 sports talk radio. And I said to you, rugby. And then you said that rugby wasn't in 24/7 sports either, and you wanted to take it in. And so we had the 7-minute deal that we did in a handshake.
That's right, the 7-minute deal.
So, Kevin, tell us a little bit more. I mean, I went to St. Mary's College, and they have a great rugby team out here in my native East Bay. Jack Clark at Cal has a great team. I know some have club status. I know that it's not maybe NCAA. So just clear it up. Is it league? Is it union? Is it sevens? Is it all of it?
Yeah, it is predominantly rugby union, but however, sevens is really kind of taken off, especially with the success of the USA sevens team, the men's and women's sevens. I think last year the men's national team placed second in the world. I think the women were either second or third in the world. So sevens has seemed to have been the sport that's really kind of taken off as far as our world ranking. But certainly on the college scene, and you are in the hotbed of rugby in the U.S. between St. Mary's and Cal, who are always duking it out for top dog in the nation, to all of the really successful high school and youth programs in the Bay Area. I love coming up to the Bay. I'm down in Santa Barbara. I'm just listening to Karen with her last interview. It was pretty exciting because all of the teams that were in that last regatta, they all also have really powerful rugby programs as well. So Penn State, U.S. Naval Academy, Cal Poly, UC Santa Barbara, which is where I used to coach from 2000 to 2012. So it's good to see the Gauchos are still getting after it. But it's predominantly, I guess back to your original question, rugby union. And we have a mixed bag of high-performing clubs and NCAA or college varsity programs, so all competing in the same bag.
I once played football against Santa Barbara for St. Mary's in 1986 in that big old stadium. Is that where you guys have your rugby?
Yes, Harder Stadium, a big 14,000-seat stadium just blocks off from the coast. It's gorgeous, a gorgeous venue. It is now, I think, labeled soccer heaven because the Gauchos soccer team has been the king of campus for probably the last 10 years. But yes, gorgeous venue.
You know, Kevin, rugby is an international sport, and so is sailing. And I think that's one of the reasons why we find that we have fans in common between sailing and rugby. When we were at the Golden Gate Yacht Club and watching Tom Slingsby and the SailGP Australia team win that match race, that was when the ambassador of Australia was there, and there were some rugby fans there and also the sailing fans. How was that for you watching the sailing and the SailGP race?
Yeah, well, the sailing was incredible. I mean, that's the first time that I've gotten a chance to see those boats up close and personal. I mean, I've watched it on TV a bit, and surprisingly enough, I watch more sailing when I'm in New Zealand, which I'm always there for rugby, but as you said, it's an international sport, and the Kiwis are really big in their sailing. The Aussies are big in their sailing. And, yeah, we're sitting there at the table talking rugby, and the Australian ambassador, she's sitting a couple of seats over, and she overhears our conversation. Her husband was a rugby player. Her brother was a rugby player. Her dad was a rugby player. So it was good to be able to have the back and forth. I'm learning more about sailing. I'm also learning more about rugby as the Aussies are teaching me a little bit, a thing or two about the game. So, it was a really fun afternoon.
Speaking with the D1 Rugby Commissioner, Kevin Bowell, here on SailSport.com. Growing up, I always, you know, we heard about the All Blacks, the Kiwis, and the Pacific Islanders. So, you know, just these great powers from Samoa and Tonga. But I found it interesting in my travels in Europe that France has an excellent rugby team, and that Argentina has an excellent rugby team. And I remember being in Paris in 1991 when our Eagles got knocked out of the World Cup early, and one of our USA players was crying. And I thought, oh my gosh, we're not only we're getting beat, we're crying. How has how has USA rugby come in the last 20, 30 years?
Yeah, well, you know, in the 15s game, it's a difficult one to really make some traction in, because as we continue to improve, and the U.S. team has certainly improved by leaps and bounds, so have all the other teams in the rest of the world, especially the All Blacks of New Zealand. But New Zealand, South Africa, England, even France, those teams seem to be kind of in a race of their own. And, you know, it starts with just the history that they have in the game, the fact that the game is the number one sport in their country. So every young boy who grows up in New Zealand grows up with a ball in his hand and is out on the pitch or the paddock, as they call it, by age four. Whereas in most of our American rugby players, up until recently, most of our American rugby players take it up in college. But now with the growth and explosion of the youth game, we're starting to make some inroads. So we're not quite to the point where we can catch the Argentina or France just yet. But last year we did knock off Scotland. So that's one of the big major countries.
Take that, Braveheart.
That's right. That's right. So that was something special down in Texas. So you've got to introduce the Scots to the Texas Heat. And, yeah, they wilted. So it was great to see.
Well, and you have a background, Kevin, as a rugby player yourself. Didn't you play internationally as well?
I got the chance, like a lot of rugby players in the U.S., to tour all around the world. Rugby isn't that big in the U.S. However, it is the second largest sport in the world. So, yes, traveling to South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, Japan, all the Pacific Islands. So, yeah, it's been a real blessing for me. It's given me a lot of opportunity that I wouldn't have otherwise had.
One of my good friends growing up with played rugby for Stanford, and they played the Fijian team, and he said the Fijians were trying to rip their ears off, and so you had to tape your ears down. This is not a sport for the faint of heart, is it?
No, it's not. It's tough, man. I mean, it's tough, but that's. I mean, I think for a young man, or even now for the young women, because there's a lot of women playing rugby as well. It kind of takes you back to the primal being of survival of the fittest. I mean, maybe not that dramatic, but it certainly feeds into that crave of that physical contact and, you know, being able to dominate and compete against, you know, person to person, team to team. But yeah, there's not too many ears being ripped off nowadays, but who knows?
Well, Kevin, have you been sailing before?
I have. I haven't been in a sail race, not in a long time, but I have been out on a few boats. I live down here in Santa Barbara, so actually a few of the rugby coaches have boats here. So usually on a Sunday afternoon, we'll grab a 12-pack and a couple of sandwiches and get out there on the water and enjoy being on the water.
That's Kevin Battle, commissioner at USA Rugby. Hey, Kevin, you're doing a great job. As you said, the sport is growing. It's great to have you on the show. And if you're ever in San Francisco, we'd love to have you come in studio and we'll get a little more in depth.
Kevin, it was great to see you in Santa Barbara and my visit coming up from LA Yacht Club. And I'll see you soon on the water. Come on my boat.
All right. Deal. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Brad. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. Brad Tittle with you for the rest of the way. By the way, this is the only sport, Karen, where there's someone called the hooker, which you got to love. Is there? It seems like sailing would have a hooker more than rugby would. Because you're always like, you know, hooking with sails, and there's like winches and things. Do you know why we call it rugby, by the way?
Well, we have trapezes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we have boats and... I'll leave it there.
What, quit playing with your dinghy? Is that what you wanted to say?
No, I didn't say that. I'm a girl.
Do you know why we call it rugby?
Why do you call it rugby?
Well, why I call it is, and I'll give you a real quick one here, and then we'll get into SailGP. In the mid-1800s, football, by the way, as a term, mean a game not played on horseback. You're on foot. I think a lot of people misunderstand that. But because I'm so smug and I know everything. But in the 1800s, people were playing soccer in England, and some people would pick it up and start passing it. And they're like, no, you have to keep it on the floor. You can't pick it up. You can't use your hands unless you're throwing it in. So they had a meeting, and they said, look, we're going to continue to pick it up. And then half of them said, we're going to continue to keep it on the ground. They go, how are we going to differentiate it? And they said, okay, well, football is when you throw it around, but association football is when you keep it on the ground. And that got too confusing. So they had the meeting in a town called Rugby in the West Midlands in England. And so they decided the people who were going to throw it will be called rugby rules football. And so rugby rules football just became football. And then association soccer, everything in England has a nickname, but it became ASSOC, period. So it was ASOC football, ASOC soccer. That's how we get soccer, from the word association.
That's a great bit of history.
I just thought I'd throw that at you. Now, that being said, terrible segue, there's a new season of SailGP around the corner.
Right, and SailGP has been busy after Tom Slingsby won the championship.
The Slinger.
Yep. We had him here in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
He was the third person to sign our wall.
Oh. Were the first two?
It was Mac Agnesi and Rome Kirby.
Good knowledge. Yeah, okay, continue, please.
And so, there's been a lot happening because they've dropped China. China hopefully will come back as a team, but they're not going to be competing in the second season.
Does this have to do with the virus?
No, it doesn't. My understanding is that it's just that they weren't able to meet the terms for SailGP for this year. And so Spain and Denmark have come in.
Ah, Denmark. That's me, baby.
Yeah. And also we've added another location, which will be Copenhagen. So that will be the last race. So there'll be
a few times myself.
Yeah. But, you know, SailGP is really adding a lot to the sport because they're bringing in resources. I mean, they were valued at $200 million after the first 16 months for the SailGP race. And what they've done is they've added, just today I got a notice, that Virtual Regatta, which is the leading digital sailing platform with a community of more than 1 million players. These are people who are playing sailing virtually, mm-hmm. and it actually mirrors the actual races.
Wow.
So they're going to be doing a SailGP version, and basically it's a pop-up inside the races. So it'll be at all the same locations, mm-hmm. and gamers can basically enjoy and learn how to sail and what that experience is like.
I don't know if they've done this yet. They probably have, but if they haven't, you should get on it and make a lot of money. What they do in NBA and NFL, they put a camera now for virtual reality, so you basically have a front row seat, and you put on your Oculus or your Vibe, and you look around, and it's like you're sitting there. I think that would be pretty cool to maybe put up on a crow's nest or like right at the helm.
Well, and I think that they're actually doing some of that with this particular thing. And there's also another connection is that a company called Endeavor has basically purchased a minority share of SailGP. Are you familiar with Endeavor?
I am not, but I will endeavor to go to a break as we are out of time.
We'll be talking about it again later, next week.
Karen, thanks for coming in. And thanks to Mr. Battle as well. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.